Good morning. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is a text of worship from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. The righteous judgments of God. These verses, which comprise our text, stand alone as timeless spiritual truths. And so we shall take our text as it comes to us this morning along these three lines. First, the glory of man apart from God. Secondly, the glory of man with God. And finally, the glory of God in his attributes. So we're going to be working from the least to the greatest this morning. The glory of man apart from God is found in verse 23. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. No, let the rich man glory in his riches. Why? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who among men ever had more wisdom, more might, and more riches than King Solomon? Solomon was, outside of Jesus, the wisest, most powerful, and the richest man to ever walk the earth. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, which Solomon wrote, he thought all of these things through. And I'd like us all to think through these things with Solomon this morning. Solomon said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. I commune with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. And I set my heart to know wisdom and know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. The more knowledge we attain, the more things we understand, it seems, the more we realize how futile human wisdom is apart from God. Later in that same book, Solomon considers his own might, his own earthly power. And he writes this, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. If he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. And no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war. Solomon got to thinking about it, and no matter how much might he had, No matter how much power he had, no matter how much authority he had in his kingdom, there would come a day where Solomon himself would have to bow his head and go to the grave, just as the poorest and most foolish man would do. Solomon also considered his riches, his stuff. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches kept for their owner to his hurt, but those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there is nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. The glory of man, apart from God, is passing, even as the flower of the grass. We have been, many of us, gadding about our days as if we were self-made men, strong-willed women, and young people who are wiser than our parents and our elders, even wiser than God himself. In our glorying, in our pride, we must not stay. What fools we have been, operating in our own power. So let us all now pray as humble penitents. Join me now in praying the words of Scripture. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. And all we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look. We all are your people. You know, the revivals of old were not with pomp and circumstance and light shows and loud music. The revivals of old sounded like Isaiah, like Jeremiah in our text, like Ezra. You know, we've got a revival coming up here in a couple of weeks. So let's get as excited about what the Lord is doing as the secular folks do about their festivals and their fundraisers. Sometimes they put us to shame. A second line of application this morning. The glory of man with God. The Lord says in our text, "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." Man seeks to know it all, but one thing is required, that you know he who is all in all, Christ Jesus. The Christian seeks not after worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom. He or she goes to this book for the answers. He or she is not occupied with human power, but with tapping into the power of the Spirit, the power of God who lives in us. The Christian is not consumed with earthly riches, but with godly riches, heavenly inheritance, the fruit of the Spirit. For you see that you're calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. We have this theme that recurs through Scripture. Wisdom, power, and riches. And the Apostle Paul picks up this very same theme in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So friend, glory all you want, but make sure that when you glory, you're glorying in him. And you're pointing others, not to the south or to the east or to the west, but to the north. Who indeed is our source of power, but the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, whose power works through the inner man as we call upon Jesus Christ. If you understand and know God the Father, it is only because you have received riches at the expense of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not a big acronym guy. I'm sure this has been said from this pulpit, but some of you may have heard the acronym of GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. And this is what we have. Jesus paid it all. And we receive the richness of godly wisdom, godly might, godly riches, and godly inheritance, which have been bestowed upon us by the Lord. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So when we cry out with Isaiah like we did, we can be certain that if our hearts are truly penitent, forgiveness is sure to follow. And there is more. In him you also trusted. Paul's writing to believers here. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Sealed by the Spirit of promise. Believers are sealed by the Spirit of promise, and they are guaranteed an inheritance. Don't let some man come along and tell you that you can lose that reservation in heaven that God guaranteed for you the hour you first believed. You know, we've got on this earth criminals and hackers, we've got inflation. We got all of these things that erode our wealth, that may even erode our ability to exercise earthly authority and do earthly things. But all of these things are powerless against what God has done for you. Let us say it again. Heaven and its riches are God's guarantee for the believer. Go then and freely serve him, for God has set you free from the bondage of death. And furthermore, rewards await his good and faithful servants. Now, the sermon shall come home to a crescendo. This poetic passage in Jeremiah chapter 9 reads as such, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. These things are before us as we close out our text. We have been unkind to God. We have been unkind to other people. And yet for all of this, God's loving kindness has never ceased to be given to us. You see, God demonstrates. The scripture does not say that he demonstrated, although he did that too. But we read in the present tense that God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loves you. Yes, even you. And what of judgment for your sins? For your sins, yours and mine, are many. And we are deserving of death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What of righteousness? The self-righteous individual will justify himself and judge others. The prideful, self-willed individual has a spirit of pride and haughtiness and seeks to declare others unworthy. Such a one refuses to forgive and cannot believe that God can forgive other people, or certain other people. Do not be like that, for your Father who is in heaven forgives freely. And the scripture says that he abundantly pardons. Let us enjoy Christ's righteousness, which he freely offers to those who believe. Rejoice in this. The wisdom, power, and riches of the world simply do not cut it. They do not bring peace. They will not bring hope, but they will lead to despair. But our God, who supplies all these things, exceeds even this. So, friends, let us seek to know who God is more and more each and every day. And let his people go forward after the hearing of these words with penitence and worship, beholding his wondrous beauty and love. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word in Jeremiah. Lord, we confess to you corporately and individually that there have been times where we have given place to worldly wisdom, worldly might, worldly riches. But Father, we thank you that you have given us godly wisdom in your book, godly might through your Spirit, godly riches in Christ. May we celebrate these. And Heavenly Father, if there be anyone among us who may be hearing these words, and has experienced, like King Solomon, and like many of your people today, the futility of human efforts and the human agenda, Lord, may such a one come before you and pray, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need peace, and I need hope. And I now see that these things are found through Christ Jesus. Save my soul. And begin construction on a room in the heavenly mansion for me today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.